Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fearless Generations with Terry Sayer and Kelly Fox.
Hello, and welcome to Fearless Generations. It's a new month and it's a new step. As we do the 12 steps to freedom, this month is step number 7, surrender, and tonight is introduction. And with me tonight, I have the beautiful Terry Sayer, and I am Kelly Fox. So, Terry, thank you. And as we do each week, we do a recap of the week. So how was your week, Terry?
I had a good week, busy week. Can't remember what all we did, but I know that we worked on a workshop that Kelly and I did on Friday with a group of people that are working with an organization called CSET, but they're all people that are over 50 that are looking to work, kind of reinvent themselves and get back into the workforce. And so we did a workshop on leadership and how communication and collaboration can affect your ability to get back into the swing of things and to communicate your wants, your desires, and then to be able to communicate and represent yourself in an interview or what that organization does, place people in positions, pays for their salary for a period of time, hoping that the business will then pick them up as a full-time employee. So many of them are working in a new situation. And we were able to incorporate concepts of fear and how fear keeps you from being able to do what you want to do as well. So it was very, very successful. It was Kelly's first doing a workshop with me, and she did an amazing job. And it was just really, really fun. And the participants all felt like they left there with some tools and some strategies to move forward and face their fear of taking on a new job or an interview or seeking applications, or they all left with some kind of an action step. So it was good. It was really good, and it fit in nicely with talking about being accountable and being in the present moment. And they really did participate. We asked them to be willing to be there, to be present, and to participate, and a lot of the activities were very interactive. They had to work in pairs, get up and move around the room, share out, and they were all willing to do that and to be present with us. And so the people who put it together were really pleased as well. So I think we left feeling really good. We went out to lunch and had a lovely time. It was lots of fun.
Yeah,
so I think I did other things last week too, but I don't remember. I don't remember what else I did last week.
You did. Well, while we were trying to prepare for the workshop, you were in Dublin, and
that's right. I wasn't even here. That's where I was.
Yeah, and all over the place. So, but yeah, it was a really great experience. It was a really great opportunity for me to step out of my box even more and be a co-facilitator with Terry. And we do that here on the show, but it was a live event, and it was quite a bit of information that I don't normally deal with the leadership side of things. It's more of stuff that Terry does on her own. So it was really exciting to be there and to be a part of that with her, and to also weave, Fearless Living information into there to open their eyes and help them to be more aware of things that could be possibly holding them back, and also in areas where they aren't afraid, where their comfort levels are quite different than others. And so they kind of learned from each other of where their comfort levels might be high and where their comfort levels might be low in comparison to the other people in their group and in their situation. So it was really good. Everybody was, like Terry said, everybody was great participants, very willing to open up and discuss and share and participate in the activities fully. And I thought that it was a really great workshop. I felt like everybody really got something from it. We even had a couple of the participants want to refer us to other organizations that they are involved with or know of. And one of the participants gave us a hug. And everybody seemed really grateful for the information that we shared. So it was really a great time and experience for me. So that was really awesome. And then my family and I went to San Jose on Saturday and had a really fun time with my husband's longtime best friend and his family. And they got to play, and my husband and got to catch up with his old, you know, with one of his dearest friends, and I got to catch up with his wife, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun, a lot of activity. We were outside at a park, you know, walking around, and it was beautiful weather in San Jose. So it was a really great weekend and full of family time. So, yeah, great week or weekend because that was Friday and Saturday. And then the time before, I was, you know, making a PowerPoint presentation for the first time and getting things ready for the workshop. And so that was really fun, too, of stretching myself and my abilities there and kind of surrendering to the process as, you know, as we go in and we talk about this step this month of surrender. We talked last year about how some people might think of surrender as or raising the white flag. And I think it can mean that in some instances of you trying to fight against your process or fight against or seeing yourself fight against the universe or the forces that might be that you see, and kind of surrendering to your process and letting it happen the way it's going to happen, and having faith in yourself and your higher power that all will happen according to your best interests. And so as we start talking about surrender, what are some of your initial thoughts that come up for you this time, or thoughts that you are that come up for you that we've talked about before?
Well, I think surrender is a very powerful step in the process, and I understand why it comes at this point. And these steps are really put in order for a reason. So we've talked about being accountable and willing and connected and compassionate and all the steps that we've talked about thus far. And I think when we talk about surrender, for me, it's a willingness to surrender who we think we should be, or releasing what we think is right in order to really understand and accept what is. So it's kind of like very close to being present. It's like accepting or releasing all those ideas that we've had about ourselves that aren't truly us. You know, it's like what we think our parents thought we should be, or what we think our children think we should be, or our friends, and accepting who we are. And that becoming the important part. And I think because of Fearless Living and because of the program that Rhonda Britton has written and the steps and learning about your will of fear and your will of freedom, and when you're able to discover your true self or your essential nature, then that's who you are. And being able to surrender what you thought you should be for what you are changed my life completely. I mean, completely, because my essential nature is compassion. compassion for myself. Well, I used to beat myself up because I was a perfectionist. And mm-hmm. so I thought I had to be perfect, or I should be perfect. Now, that could have come from a lot of different things in my life, from expectations of others, expectations of myself, ideas and thoughts that I'd had that, you know, were created from my environment or whatever. But really being able to have compassion for myself changed my way of being able to interact and self-accept myself, and mm-hmm. then to interact with and accept others and offer true compassion to others. And so I surrendered to that concept of my essential nature, that my essential nature was not to beat myself up or others, because when you're a perfectionist, it's not just yourself that you want to be perfect, it's everyone around you. Mm-hmm. And be able to surrender that notion, that thought, that mindset of perfectionism to a mindset of compassion. I mean, that's like almost the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to surrender or release what we think we should be, and then understand and accept who we are, then that just becomes so powerful. And it's mm-hmm. not giving up. It's just that we embrace ourselves fully and completely and love ourselves. Because when we surrender to our real self, then no matter what, we accept ourselves and we learn from our choices. And then we just understand ourselves and we can love ourselves and be kind to ourselves. I think I've talked about it before. Until you reach that point of self-love, self-understanding, self-acceptance, very difficult to love and accept and understand others. And so it, for me, it was that hourglass, the plug that was holding all of my energy up in the top and not letting me release that to other people. It wasn't unplugged until I surrendered to my true self, which was compassion and love for myself. That was when mm-hmm. I was able to open that neck up and then practice loving others with that same kind of compassion. And it's something I practice. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it didn't just change instantly, but I practice that. I'll go into a room and I'll sit there and I'll look at others and I'll really concentrate on compassion for them. And knowing what that feels like and how that feels to have compassion for myself then allows me to do that for others as well. So that's my initial thought, surrender.
Now, when you were talking about that, that made me think about a conversation I was having with my husband last night. I think it was last night. Might have been the night before. And how sometimes we can take on labels, either labels we put on ourselves or labels that we feel that others put on us. And I think that surrender can also mean surrendering to the truth of us and letting go of those labels that aren't actually ours. That aren't really, you know, the true essence of who we are, but that we've accepted because either actions that we've taken or things that people have said, and so we've put those on ourselves, and they're not actually ours to carry around. And so it's letting go of those things and stepping forward and saying, you know what, those aren't me. This is me.
Mm-hmm.
I think also an expectation that I've realized that I've had of myself is to be a good example. It's a huge expectation that I have of myself to be a good example of wherever I am and in whatever capacity that I'm stepping up as. And I had a realization recently that I don't need to be, I can widen my view of what a good example is or explanation of a good example. I don't need to be a good example of someone who is always doing the right and never messes up, because that's an unrealistic expectation that I I have of myself. But I can be an example of someone who makes a wrong turn, notices that, corrects myself, and gets back on the path that I want to be on. And I think that can be almost a better example than someone who's standing there saying, oh, I you know, am this shining light when I've never stepped off the path. You know, because that's not something that someone can relate to. That's not something that's even doable. And so to try to hold myself to that expectation has caused a lot of shame and guilt and you know, negative self-talk. And so letting go of that and saying, you know what, I can still be a good example, but I can be a good example of someone who says, you know what, even if you mess up, you know, you can still, you know, get back on that horse and you can continue moving forward, or how, whatever analogy you want to use. But, you know, and that can be even a more powerful example for someone, because they can go, okay, I'm in this, you know, place where I'm not going the direction I want to. And, you know, and I can see how others have, you know, made wrong choices and they've corrected themselves and they're not now heading towards where they want to be heading. And I can do that too. And I think that's a much more powerful example than what I had previously been trying to hold myself to. And so it's surrendering to, you know, surrendering even, you know, good intentions or what you thought might have been a good expectation of yourself, you know, and really looking at it and saying, you know what, I don't have to hold myself to that expectation, because there was a lot of pressure and a lot of, as I said, you know, like shame and negative self-talk that came with it. And I felt like I kind of had to hold myself at some different level than other people. And I still might do that, but I do it in a way that has more compassion for myself, that has more, you know, trust in myself, has more forward movement and less shame or guilt or negative self-talk than the previous expectation or, you know, narrow view of something that I want to do as I move forward. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're talking about perfectionism to me. You know, when you say be a good example, does that mean to you, what does being a good example mean? Perfect, mm-hmm. being perfect, or what is a good example?
Yeah, I think that, and because I think I do have an expectation of perfectionism, but I think at a very young age, I felt like I let go of that idea, and so it was almost like it was the opposite. Like, well, I know I can't do it perfect, so why even try? And I feel like for most areas, that's how I saw situations or opportunities. Like, I didn't even try, and because I didn't see how even the smallest bit of effort would be worth. And so I've looked at that, and I've started to try things, and I've started to see my capability. And I've talked about that in the show before, of how I've really started to see that I'm capable of doing things, because I used to tell myself that I wasn't. And so I've worked on that, and I feel like there's now this new awareness of where I had been holding myself to a certain unrealistic expectation of perfection, and that is definitely one area that has recently come up where I've seen if I widen my definition of this goal for myself, I am actually a great example. And I don't have to beat myself up for having a curvy road, or, you know, the occasional step away or mistake, because that's inevitable. And my example is that I continue to try. I continue to press forward. I continue to practice. I continue to wake up each morning saying, today I'm going to practice doing better, or, you know, whatever, you know, the area is that I'm trying to improve. And that's been a huge release of pressure that I've had on myself.
So is it that you surrendered the definition you had of being a good example, and you created a new mindset, or was a realization?
I think I surrendered the need for the very narrow definition of being a good example. I think I also surrendered the perfectionism aspect of it, and I think I also surrendered the idea or the responsibility that my choices affect others on such an intense level. So, like, I'm, like, me being a good example affects people, you know, like, taking on that responsibility of others and their choices because of the way I live my life. Does that make sense? Because I have a tendency to do that as well. I take on the responsibility of other people's actions or the way that other people are living their lives, thinking that it's my responsibility to somehow affect change in their life because of the way that I'm living mine, or the things that I might say or the things that I might do, when in all reality, each individual is responsible for their life and the choices they make. And I might have a small part in, you know, shining my light. That's my responsibility to shine my light, to live my life in a way that might inspire others, but it's not my responsibility if someone chooses to still live their life the way that they want to live it. And so I think that was another realization that started at the retreat in September, of letting go of that responsibility, that other people have that responsibility of themselves, and it's my responsibility to live my life the way that I want to live it. And if it affects your life for good, awesome. But if you choose to continue to live your life the way you want to live it, that's, you know, that's fine too.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to process what you're saying. So in surrendering the idea that your behavior affects other people's behavior, like you're trying to control what their behavior is by having good behavior?
I guess,
Is that a control issue, do you think?
I don't know if it's necessarily control, but a sense of responsibility. It's very much a sense of responsibility. Like, I am responsible for it's very much more in the responsible. Like, I'm responsible. I'm held responsible.
But who are you held responsible for? I mean, you said in reality you now know, or you've come.
I felt responsible for a lot of people.
Or?
I mean, these are kind of new awarenesses. I've let go of particular individuals. But there's still other individuals that I hold on to, but I'm getting better at. But I felt very responsible for my siblings, for my friends, for clients, or my children, my husband.
When you say you feel both for them, what does that mean? For their choices, for their actions, for...
Yeah, I did. I felt very
you
responsible.
Did.
Like, yeah, I did. Where, like, I've pretty much have let go of my responsibility of my siblings, because that's been something I've been working on for several years now. But like, almost if they were making choices that were contrary to what I thought would be choices that would make them happy, that like it was my fault.
How'd that work?
You know, where
you?
I had this great, you know, intense feeling of responsibility. I mean, I don't know another word for it.
We're talking mm-hmm. about surrendering. Are you saying that you're practicing surrendering this, or that this is
yeah.
just still a big issue for you? I'm getting confused.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I feel like that's something that I've definitely been practicing, surrendering the responsibility that I feel for others and the choices they make. But also, in doing so, I've surrendered expectations that I have on myself, labels that I've put on myself. I've let go of a lot of things in that process, so that I feel like I can now move forward with just my own responsibilities, or my own choices, or my own.
It would be helpful if you know, maybe next time, because our time is gone, we could talk about the tools and the process for surrendering. Are you at the point where you no longer feel responsible for everybody else's decisions and actions? Or is that still something you're struggling with?
It depends on the situation or the person. But yes, I have definitely surrendered a lot of it, and I'm starting to move on to more of like labels or choices. I'm surrendering that, what I've held myself responsible for that. And so that's even becoming more more freeing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the responsibility of other people's choices, I've definitely let go of a lot of that, a lot. And so that's been a lot of my journey in the last, I would say it started probably about 4 years ago, but, well, maybe 5 years ago. And it has continued, and I've really had a lot of awarenesses recently with the things that I've, the labels or the situations that I've held on myself with certain things. So, you know, just letting go of those layers of, you know, that you've, you know, layers of things that you may have put on yourself that you don't necessarily need to, you don't need to hold anymore, to just, you know, let them go and surrender those things from yourself and from your life, and so that you can move forward without holding those things anymore. Sorry, I kind of didn't even realize that I had gone off on a little bit of a tantrum, but we thank you for coming to the show tonight and starting the discussion of surrender. We'd love to hear about your theories about surrender, or how you've let go of things, or how you've surrendered to your process. And we will continue this discussion for the next 3 Mondays. And we also will be having Elaine Glass back on the show this month, talking about surrender and moving forward in freedom, as always. We thank you again for being with us, and we say be fearless. Thank
Good
you,
night.
Carrie.